Today on Take It From Us, we mark Mental Health Awareness Week with the Chief Executive of the Mental Health Foundation, Judy Clements. We also have in the studio Erwin van Asbeck from Toiora Live Art Trust. And Erwin, of course, is a former host of Take It From Us. I think, in fact, he did that hosting role for almost a decade. So he's a voice that will be known to many people who listen to Take It From Us. Mental Health Awareness Week has adopted the theme, Winning Ways to Wellbeing. And there are several events coinciding with this Awareness Week. The week began on Monday, October the 5th, and culminates with a fiesta at Western Park in Ponsonby on Saturday, October the 10th. Judy and Erwin, welcome to Take It From Us. Really, for the first time since I've hosted this show, Judy, I think you're being on the show, and it's a great pleasure to have you as a guest.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Hi, Sheldon.
Yeah, hi, Erwin and Judy. So, it's a great theme for our Mental Health Awareness Week, winning ways to well-being. Perhaps you could outline some of the significance of the winning ways to well-being, Judy.
I'd be delighted to, yes. I mean, well-being is a concept that really means feeling good and functioning well. So what we wanted to use the week for was to promote the idea that there's something that we can each do, we can all do, sometimes individually, sometimes together, to get that feeling good and functioning well sense. So there are a number of activities, and it's based on some research and literature review that was done by an organisation in the UK, but the activities and actions that we can all take part in are universally applicable and applicable at any age and stage in life.
Well, I guess that reinforces a theme that I push a little bit on Take It From Us, and that is that really we all have to be responsible for our own mental health when it comes down to it.
I think that's a really important message, yes, Sheldon, that there is something that we can all do. That doesn't mean that at some point we may need support or help from others, but there's a huge amount that we can take for ourselves and do for ourselves. So I think that's a strong message to come through.
So what are some of these five winning ways to well-being that we can look after and do for ourselves?
Yeah, the five winning ways. Well, To put it at their shortest, connect, be active, take notice, keep learning, and give. And if I could say a little bit more, if I've got some time.
Yes, certainly.
I mean, the beauty of these notions is that they don't cost a lot of money. They're cross-cultural, if you like. They could apply to anybody. We can interpret them in our own way. But take the first one, connect. That means connect with your loved ones, your family, your whānau, perhaps your colleagues or your student friends if you're still studying. Could be at home, at work, in the community. It's that sense of being together, being part of something that's actually bigger than yourself.
And the other side of that, I guess, is, of course, isolation, which people in mental health can revert to being isolated because they don't have the confidence to get out and connect with people.
That's right, and research has shown that actually that's one of the likely features of having a mental health problem is that lack of social contact, which could be because of discrimination that people face, or it could be that internalized stigma that sometimes affects people. So some of those social networks are eroded. So what we want to encourage is to restore some of those connections. And it doesn't have to be dozens of people, it could be two or three people. There's no exact formula. It's what works for each one of us, and we work that through for ourselves.
And it's hard to connect sometimes when we think we've got horns sort of climbing out of the top of our head.
I guess if you have that sort of sense, it might be. But there are different ways of connecting. I mean, what I might prefer personally to connect face-to-face. Some people actually like to connect using computers, using technology, using Facebook. and some of the things that I'm afraid I'm not quite as adept at. But I know that for some people that can be connection and community. Yeah. So there's no one way. There's no one size fits all. It's, you know, we're different and we have different needs, different preferences.
How are you, Erwin, in terms of connecting on Facebook and Twitter and blogs and email?
I would say it'd be a learning curve for me on that. I mean, emails are okay, you know, I've gotten around all that sort of stuff. But yeah, with Facebook, I guess it's the time factor as well. I mean, I mainly sort of do computer things during the work, you know, daytime. And so, you know, there's always other things going on. So I often sort of, it just is a bit time consuming. I'm waiting for it to become even smarter so that I don't take so much time to do.
Well, my observation is that you're somebody that has no difficulty in connecting.
I like to sort of connect face to face, really, or, you know, with people, obviously, and organising things like with Mental Health Awareness Week. It's been a great opportunity to work together with lots of organisations, and now with this week it's the big push to make sure that that message is out there, that people will, you know, feel encouraged to partake and come and make a bit of effort to come and support some of these events. Yeah.
Well, we shouldn't sidetrack off these five winning ways, I suppose. We've pretty much covered the importance of connection and connecting, Judy, but what's the next one?
Next one's being active. And that can take also many forms. It doesn't mean you have to join a gym or buy a heap of expensive sports equipment. It could be going for a walk. It could be going for a run. It could be gardening. It could be hanging out the washing. It's doing things that are physical. And again, there's evidence that that's beneficial for all of us and can actually change the way we feel. So particularly for people who may be experiencing depression or anxiety, it is definitely something that can uplift the mood and the spirit.
Well, we're building up to the Framework Touch Tournament, and you know, it's great that the Mental Health Foundation has in fact supported that with some funding to allow us to expand this tournament. That'll be November the 26th, and in fact we have been meeting weekly as part of a fitness and well-being program with five or six service providers who are bringing consumers to this. And you know, the change in relationship and the change in people's outlook from being involved in this fitness and well-being program has been great. And I even got out and played a bit of touch football at One Tree Hill the other day, so that was a bit of a risk.
And there you're hitting two of those winning ways to well-being, because you've got the connectedness and you've got the physical activity. And you've probably got some of the others as well. So it's a great initiative, so congratulations.
Yeah, well, I was quite surprised that some of these guys who are half my age sort of said, well, you should play in the tournament, Shelvin.
I'll have to come and watch.
No, don't rush along, Judy. It's not going to be that good. But, so I guess I've always been a great supporter of activity to sort of maintain mental health, and that's been one of my personal strategies.
Because you're a gardener, aren't you?
Oh, a gardener and a big tennis player.
So. Oh, big tennis. Oh, very even more impressive.
Yeah.
So what do you do for activity, Judy?
I walk, I go to a gym. I like cycling, although I have to confess that my bicycle stays more in the garage than gets out on the street. But those are the things I like to do. When the weather permits, I like swimming. When the water's warm enough, I like swimming, although I'm a terrible swimmer. I swim like a dog with my head sticking up and my arms flapping.
You're not from the UK, by any
means. No, surely not.
most people in the UK swim like that, don't they?
Is that right?
And are scared of big waves.
Possibly not. We do have championships for surfing in Cornwall.
I know, yes. Yes, another one of my sports. So anyway, we're taking a bit of a flippant view to some of these, but so we've covered connect and activity. Yep. Number three is?
But we're also laughing, and laughing is good for your mental health.
Oh, well, that's great. Does that come in as the five winning ways?
Not overtly, but I think it probably is part of the connection and the taking notice.
It's a byproduct.
And it's an essential feature. It's that old adage about laughter is the best medicine. Yeah. I still think that's so true.
Gets the dopamine going.
Yeah, all of that.
Serotonin.
Serotonin, yeah. But now the third way is taking notice. Taking notice, be curious, be aware of what's around you. Notice the beauty, notice the splendor of nature, for instance, and be in the present. The technique of mindfulness, which is a Buddhist technique, I believe, in origin, but just being conscious of what's happening in the present. We do tend to have a life that either drags us back into something that's happened in the past or looks forward all the time to what we have to be dealing with next. And this message is be in the present, be mindful, be aware, take notice. And again, it goes well with the others of connect and be active. So you don't do these things separately in little, you know, separate sequences or boxes. You can actually combine.
Mm. Yeah. I think that mindfulness is a very powerful tool for our mental wealth, if you like.
Absolutely.
Or mental health.
Yeah.
And I was reminded when I sort of bottomed out a couple of years ago, reminded about the importance of mindfulness and just focusing on something for 4 or 5 minutes. And, you know, just managing those thoughts that are getting a bit out of hand. Do you practice that at all, Erwin?
I should probably practice that more lately. I've been it's been pretty hectic, I must say, leading up to this week, and it's been a lot to take on for the whole organising committee. And I think just I take in evenings, obviously, and over the weekend, I sort of take time just to sort of keep the perspective.
Do some deep breathing.
Yeah. You know, and do those things that we're talking about, really, you know. I go to the gym a bit as well, and again, don't do enough biking. But again, Auckland isn't a fantastic place to bike either, and that's something that we've been seeing a bit in the news lately too, you know. And so the whole thing about changing attitudes in the community about, you know, about physical fitness, and bikers have just as much right to be on the road as cars, and those sorts of things, they will encourage, you know.
Well, I got a bit of an insight there. Insight the other day, and that I had a hike out at Woodhill Forest, and boy, there's a whole community out there of bikers that just going all over the forest tracks and that sort of thing, and they certainly don't have to worry about cars out there, but that's for the really hardy and outback sort of people, I think. So let's we've got a promotional track, or advertisement actually, that has been recorded to promote some of the things that are coming up in Mental Health Awareness Week, and it is Mental Health Awareness Week this week. So let's have a listen to that track.
Come support Mental Health Awareness Week with a big music lineup over two events in October. First up at the King's Arms on Thursday the 8th from 8 p.m. with George Henderson and Graham Humphreys, Johnny Madison, Karen Hunter, Sandra Bell, Red Fountain and special guests. Then Fiesta in the Park celebrates World Mental Health Day on Saturday the 10th at Ponsonby's Western Park from 10 to 1 p.m. with Jay Williams, Fagan and the People, November Zulu, Anna Mac, Zozo and more. A free family fiesta of awesome music, dance, food and entertainment for the kids.
Well, this is Take It From Us, Sheldon Brown, and we're talking to Judy Clements, the CEO of the Mental Health Foundation, and to Erwin van Asbeck, who has been a major force in organising many of the events during Mental Health Awareness Week, which runs from October the 5th, that's yesterday, through to Saturday the 10th. And we're talking about the theme of Mental Health Awareness Week, the five winning ways to well-being. We've got to number four, I think, Judy.
We have, Sheldon.
Yeah.
And number four is to keep learning. And again, it's whatever works for the individual. There's no one way to keep learning. It could be learning connected with book learning or reading or studying. It could be learning a new sport, a new game. Could be learning to play a musical instrument,
or learning to ride a scooter, which is what you're doing.
No, I want to learn to ride a motorbike, not a scooter. Yeah, it's what I've started doing. You're quite right, and I'm going to, you know, over the next couple of years, I'm going to get to the stage of actually owning a motorbike.
Well, if you to Fred, our producer here, very, very sweetly, you might get to ride on a 1,000cc Kawasaki. So
that's way out of my league.
So what are your plans in terms of motorbikes?
In terms of motorbikes, well, first of all, I've got to get a small one and pass my test. I've passed the basic handling tests already, so I can manage to ride one, but I need plenty of practice. I need to get some road practice because I've only been on car parks and off-road places. So once I've got the jacket, I've got the gloves, I've got the helmet, I just need the bike.
Right. And, you know, without giving away any secrets, I think, Judy, that you topped the class in terms of going round the cones and, you know, just surprised the tutor a little bit.
Yes, I did. And put it this way, I wasn't the youngest person in the class. In fact, I was probably twice as old as quite a number of the people who were learning. And there were only three females. The rest were boys and young men. And I think the tutor expected that they would outshine everybody. So when I managed to do the cones better, he surprisingly said, "You're better than the boys."
Well, isn't that so often the case now? The girls are better than the boys. But
no comment.
No comment, no. No, that's why CEOs become a woman and get to the top. So that's covered off that. So we've got to keep on learning whatever it is. It might be learning, as you say, a new exercise or a new mindfulness or a new way of connecting with people.
Or a new recipe for cooking something you really like. Yeah,
absolutely.
There's so many different ways that we can keep learning. And again, that's at any stage in life. You know, obviously for children, learning is a huge part of development. But we need to also to remember that for the older age range, for those advancing...
What, in my age, you mean?
Oh, even older, Sheldon. Even older.
And Erwin.
Yes.
I think we're probably all of an age. But I suspect I'm the oldest here. But anyway, that aside, we won't get into age-related comments. But older people, sometimes I think it is assumed by young people, aren't still learning. But of course they are, and they can give an awful lot as well. So it's a great combination. And actually, research has shown that for older people to keep learning, it's a good protective fact against some of those aging diseases that we often hear about.
Well, they reckon that playing bridge, the card game, is a great way of protecting against Alzheimer's and dementia.
Yeah, I'm not saying much because I never mastered the game. I found it much too complicated.
Yeah. What do you do to fend off Alzheimer's, Erwin?
Well, it is a worry when you start forgetting things, isn't it? And that's been happening a little bit lately, and I'm just wondering, oh, yes, well, this is my family. My mother has, you know, memory loss and dementia. So, it is about, I guess, keeping active and reading and, you know, stimulating the brain to keep everything functioning,
well,
you exercising it.
You admitted to a little dementia this morning, didn't you, by arriving here at 9 instead of 10. So, you know, it may be the onset.
I thought that was enthusiasm.
Yeah, so the fifth of these five winning ways to well-being, I think this is one that I feel certainly has personal significance for me, and that is...
That the fifth way is to give. And that doesn't mean giving a material object, something tangible, or money. It can be giving time. It can be giving a friendly smile to somebody, smiling at a stranger. I drove down Queen Street a couple of weeks ago, and there were some young people standing outside Sky City with a big placard saying, "Free hugs." And people were walking by, stopping and getting a free hug. I thought, what a wonderful thing for these young people to be doing. Mm. And that's giving. And I bet that those people who walked on having had the hug felt just that much better than before.
And the people that gave the hug as
felt that much better too. Mm. Yeah.
Maybe we should do that at the Fiesta in Western Park Saturday.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, free hugs. We'll
turn put the a person next to you and give them a hug. That sort of
thing. Yeah. That sounds really great to build up a little bit of camaraderie and friendship.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but I think giving so often when we're mentally unwell, you know, I think that I became quite self-obsessed and didn't either have the energy or didn't have the get up and go to give to other people. But it's an amazing, I think, phenomenon when we give something to somebody, whether it is a hug or whether it's doing the garden for them or whether it's just being nice to them, giving them a smile, and it's and often we get a return, don't we?
Absolutely.
You know, it's about that connection, isn't it, when
it
you're giving?
Is.
And it's,
yeah.
It's sort of cyclical, isn't
yeah.
it, all
it
these
is.
Things?
All yeah. those things are interconnected. Yeah. Yeah. And they have their own feedback loops as well, because, as you say, if you give someone a smile, you get one back.
Mm.
There's a bit of connectedness, and so it goes on, so it grows.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there was a column I read over the weekend where when you give way to somebody when you're driving and they give you a nice little high sign, you know, just like that, just to acknowledge that you've given way. And, and of course, the rule is supposed to be that you give way to people who are going up a hill. I don't think there are too many Auckland drivers that realise that rule
still
applies.
There's a finer point there, yeah.
I don't want to talk about Auckland drivers.
No. Well, Judy's got this little smart Mercedes car, which is it's almost square, so she says that she can park it at right angles to the curb and still get away with it.
I do, that's true. I get some strange looks, but it's quite legal.
We're talking today to Judy Clements and to Erwin van Asbeck, and we have this week is the launch of Johnny Madison's Fighting Shadows CD. This is a single. In fact, it was quite a coincidence. I had sent an email to Judy's secretary asking whether this CD may be available, and when I asked in the foyer of the Mental Health Foundation offices, I was told that it hadn't arrived. But just as I was asking, there were three big boxes which had Fighting Shadows written on the outside. So we ripped into one of those, and here it is, Johnny Madison's Fighting Shadows.
No one knows how you feel about yourself. Tell someone, but does it really help? No one knows how you feel inside. Then what they see is just a lie. I was just fighting shadows, trying to walk the straight and narrow. Just fighting shadows. Dark clouds in my head. Don't know if I can forget. The past has been and gone.
I could ride.
one knows how you feel about yourself.
Right, well, there's quite a story behind that Fighting Shadows track by Johnny Madison, and the first thing is that Johnny will be performing at the October gig at Irwin. Just remind me.
At the King's Arms.
At the King's Arms.
Thursday the 8th, this Thursday.
Right, from 8 o'clock till late. There's a kohar or a $5 entry fee there, and Johnny will be performing that track. But Judy, there's a lot of background to this. Fighting Shadows indicates it's about...
It's about internalized stigma. It's about that experience that service users, consumers have had, that some of the hopelessness or the limitations that are have been put upon people with mental health problems, they take on themselves, or we take on ourselves, and don't therefore feel a sense of optimism, hope, and limitlessness. And that's what it's about. It's about the way in which that internalized stigma can limit thinking, limit action, limit hope. And it's connected to some research that we did in the Mental Health Foundation as part of the Like Minds, Like Mine program. And we launched that research last year. And the real value of the research is not only that it probes what experiences of internalized stigma are and where they come from, but also how to combat those feelings. And we called them circuit breakers. So we developed the model. I say we, it was actually Debbie Peterson, who was our senior researcher at the time, working with Alex Barnes, who was a researcher policy analyst on our team. And they developed, from much work with focus groups of people with lived experience, they developed this model, a circle, like a vicious circle of internalized stigma, and then identified where the circuit breakers might be and what actions, what change could take place in order to combat the internalized stigma. So that's the real value. So I'd really encourage anybody who hasn't had a chance to look at it to look at that. You can get that from us at the Mental Health Foundation, and there's some information about it on our website. But that led in to a group of people, mainly Wellington-based people and people with lived experience,